This is RSVNB Update, episode 285, recorded Friday, December 3rd, 2010. I can't comment on that. Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of RSVNB Update. I am here this week with Chief Snake and Chief Snake alone, who got his intake of vitamin D for today.
Oh, I'm sorry. I got carried away farming.
I knew that would happen.
I'm just kidding. We were just... Just before discussing how neither of us are able to multitask while trying to do things on the computer.
Yeah.
And I am just finishing.
I can multitask in the computer, but not, you know, like, well, that's kind of not true. I had forced.
In...
Like, in the computer, you know, I can be doing RuneScape, I am at forums all at the same
time. Oh, right. I can't even do that. No, I suck at talking to people while
when the U.S. election was happening last month. I had CNN going on the TV, I had Twitter going, and I had IM going, and I forget what else I was monitoring, but yeah, I like election night.
Election night? How did we get onto election night?
It's like a big horse race, you know?
Okay. What's been happening in RuneScape this week,
well,
Shane?
I everybody here should thank me for putting my wrist on the line and doing this quest last night. Well, who knows what you were doing, but
I don't even remember what I did last night. Sorry, that came out wrong. What? Oh crap, I've run out of super compost.
Well, I'm sure whatever you did no evil, right?
That sounds about right, yes. Oh,
all right.
I have three left and I have three allotments to plant.
This is the update that was supposed to come out last week. So this is the quest that unifies the, or brings together the monkeys and the desert storyline, known
That's
as
right.
Do No Evil. So let's first, I'm just going to go through some of the...
Yeah, please explain the storyline.
Yeah, actually, I'll read the preface first for what JIX says about Do No Evil. First things first, what they say. Having awoken from her sleep, Semlotin, the Pharaoh Queen, can sense that something is missing from the desert. That something isn't water, vegetation, or sense right or wrong. It's monkeys.
Farming run complete. Oh, monkeys. Oh, that's
yeah.
Good. So I was just wondering how this sort of ties in with the monkeys exactly.
That's
because
coming.
I did read the update thing about it, and it said it's not specifically a monkey quest.
No, it's not.
But it just happened
it's
to
more
be
of a desert quest. It's more of
okay,
a desert
well,
quest.
I'll let you continue.
Generations ago, when Apmakin, the monkey god, roamed the desert, monkeys were as commonplace as a blackjack mugging in the desert. But when she left the desert, the monkeys left too. Can you convince Awoiji to send a colony of simians to the desert? And how will they fare in a climate where even the hardiest of adventurers have perished? So basically that means you need to bring monkeys to the desert. But it's not as simple as it would appear to be, given that this is a, quote, master quest and a long quest.
Yeah, I heard it was quite long. Well, I assumed it was.
It's not while Gothic sleeps long.
No.
Or Morning's End Part 2 long. But you need to have escorted Leela from Draenor to Senlitan's tomb. Recipe for disaster, the monkey part. Missing my mummy, 100% complete. Dealing with Scabbers, Shadow of the Storm, Smoking Kills, Desert Treasure, Animal Magnetism.
It's quite a few requirements.
Yeah.
How many of those I haven't done?
And 50 ranged, 64 construction, 68 crafting, 70 magic and thieving.
Well, here we go. Requirements. Oh, I haven't done Missing My Mummy, and I haven't fully restored can't read it properly. Senlitin? Oh,
that's the Pharaoh Queen.
Okay, that's
way,
all I suppose.
This was from 2009 at some point, so it's relatively fresh in terms of desert storylines. But basically, the plot arc is so that at first you need to, go and convince the monkey person that you are indeed a human and you want to start a colony. And, of course, they're going to need convincing about why they should start a colony because, you know, the desert is a desert and the monkeys are, of course, conditioned to ape atoll and the other kind of jungle areas like that. So this is where your first little challenge comes in. In order to, on ape atoll, if you're spotted, you will be thrown in jail. What was that?
Get out, Neil. Get out. Close the door. That's damn straight you close that door. Okay. We're all good. Two bloody interruptions tonight. Do you know who... Get out, Neil. Get...
You can unmute it. You can unmute it. I know who he is.
Well, yes, but it wasn't polite, him just barging in. Right. See, I unmuted it at the end there because I knew you wouldn't mind, and it was to give you a little idea.
Okay. So what does he need? What does he need?
He's coming to pick up his stuff. He told me that he was coming back much later at 11 after he finished work. But
you want to let him say hi?
No, he's fine. He didn't want to say hi. I asked him if he wanted.
What a wimp.
Yeah, I know.
Anyways, you can see Neil at bradpad.co.nz. He climbs into Windows.
Can you actually see that? Well, it's on my YouTube channel.
But... Yeah, it is, but I don't know. It was on there before in your little time stream. But anyways, little window clamors aside, basically once you're on ape atoll, you need to prove you're a human. And in order to do that, you need to get the monkey guard to go away. Because as you know, when you turn back into a human, you get thrown in jail.
Mm-hmm.
So in order to distract the monkey, you need to lay a trail of bananas over to the main banana crate to keep this monkey happy. And of course, this is one of the little sticky points of the quest, because if you have lag or anything else like that, you're not going to be going where you want to go. And it becomes quite a chore to do. So I had fun with that last night.
Yeah.
So, that was challenge one. And then challenge two is to bring chalk ice in the shape of a monkey back to the ape atoll. And in order to do that, you need to get it from Narda all the way to, ape atoll. And you're not allowed to teleport, so you need to use more conventional means, such as, say, what I did was I took the eagle from the northern desert all the way to Eagle's Peak and then walked to the Grand Tree and went that way. And in order to keep it frozen, you need to keep it frozen with the ancient ice spell magics. So that's good fun.
Oh, that's what that's for.
Yeah, so if you don't have high level magic, or you can just do the very basic of the ice spells, you're kind of out of luck with that. It's nice to have the ice barrage where it can freeze it for a minute at a time. So.
Oh, yeah.
But anyways, after you do that, your request is granted, and you get a barrel of monkeys. A barrel of monkeys.
That's quite cliche.
Yeah, I was worried there because it didn't seem like you knew what a barrel of monkeys was.
I remember fondly barrels of monkeys. My grandparents used to have them. Anyway.
So after that, you drop the barrel of monkeys off, and then they have a list of things that you need to build for them naturally, and then one would think that would be it, but no, you disappear to find the crates, and then after everything is done, you disappear once more, and you find out that somebody has ravaged the new camp. So after that, you find the three special monkeys have been kidnapped, so then this is where the boss fights come in, and you need to go retrieve them. So overall, the quest was, I'd say, it wasn't hard, it was lots of running around, and the only hard part for me was laying the initial bananas. I think that took me a good 45 minutes or so. It must have been the lag.
Oh, wow.
So
easy boss fight?
Easy boss fight compared to other things.
Yep.
So the hardest one is the second one, but it's no problem if you range it, because it moves really slow, so if you just keep running, you'll be fine. Then the other two you can just melee, and that's it for the quest, and it's kind of interesting in the way that they're heading with this, that the monkeys are now in the desert, because it brings up the whole other question of what role are the monkeys going to play when it ultimately comes to head later and we're going to have a big war or something in the desert, you know, as we've been building up to with the desert.
It seems very strange, though, very loose that they should be bringing monkeys into the desert.
Well, the monkeys were always there before, you know, when the, like what they said in the brief about the quest, when the monkeys were still there when Apmakin was roaming the desert. So.
I suppose so.
So it's bringing him back, because, and you actually get to meet the minor god, Apmakin, at the end of the quest. Which is, I think, the first time you've actually met a god on RuneScape, if I remember correctly. So it's got some good cutscenes in it and stuff, so I don't know. It's not a quest you have to do for the reward, it's just something you do if you're a quester. It's not of importance as, say, Desert Treasure would have been or something like that. So, but with that being said, the rewards are 50,000 magic and thieving experience, 40,000 crafting experience, and 30,000 construction experience.
That's pretty hefty in terms of experience.
Yeah, it is. For a master quest and everything. So
I think it seems like they've been doing that with a lot of the recent quests. Like they're finally realizing the value of XP nowadays.
Yeah, and one quest point.
One quest point. Well, I suppose.
But you also get the side effects of combining the speak amulets into a cramulet, you know?
So, I saw that.
The monkey speak, ghost speak, cat speak, and camulet.
Yeah.
Can all be combined into one.
I like the name, cramulet.
Yeah, the cramulet. So, and you also get the new magic carpet station down there, which is between the two humps of the camel. Because if you look, I don't know if you've looked at the map, but you know, southwest of the mining camp in the desert, if you look at the map, you can see what looks like two humps of a camel, they say. So that's where this
right.
Camel is. Between the, yeah, you don't see it? You don't see the
two humps of a camel?
I'm
not looking at it. Shall I log in just to look at that
again? No, that's okay. You don't need to log in.
I just finished my run. I realized that I need to go to Trollheim because I'd forgotten about that.
I got the link in the MSN.
Fine. I'll log back out.
Yeah, don't you see, like, two humps there?
Okay, that's definitely an inside joke in the Jagex headquarters.
Yeah, so that's where the thing is, and you also get the new magic carpet route to the monkey camp.
That's
so, I think the quest is a good quest to do if you're a quester, but it's not of most importance that, as I said, like Desert Treasure or something else was, or maybe even Love Story. So
yeah, because the reward isn't that substantial.
And you don't learn too much about it. It's more building up. So I think with that, I'm only going to give this quest a 3 out of 5.
That sounds decent.
Because it's just not worth it given the time, you know, involved in it, right?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking as well. I mean, I wouldn't do it for that kind of reward.
Yeah, because I started it last night and then I finished it up today because it's clear I wasn't going to be doing that. But I think if I would, to sum up the time taken for everything, if I did everything right from the beginning, this quest would probably be around 2 hours or so if you did everything right the first time and didn't screw up on the banana part like I did or a few times on the chalk ice.
Even that is quite a long time for me.
Yeah, and, you know, that's what I said. It's not really a quest you have to do in that respect. So
yeah.
But that's, in any case, I did no evil this week in this quest. Fulfilling the name, of course. Anyway, shall we move on to some tweaks and fixes, which are very helpful for me?
That'd be nice. I haven't read these, I don't think.
We've added the percentage you've completed to skill targets based on your feedback about last week's updates.
Ah.
So that means you now get a you now get a percentage in XP left. So for instance, for my goal of 40 million farming experience, I am 4% of the way there. And something, 4% 12 point something XP there. Yeah, from when I started. Oh,
that's good. 4% is not too bad, really.
Yeah, in one day, so.
You'll be there in no time.
Yeah. Also, yes. Gnome gliders have been updated to reduce the number of clicks to be fly between various locations. Didn't get to test that.
That's always so good.
And Halloween masks have been further tweaked to bring them closer to their original color. So I'm guessing we had a little glitch last week or whenever with that. I don't have a mask, so I can't tell. But
yeah. No,
and no, you don't have a Halloween mask, do you?
No.
And nothing really that stands out that much in the. In the release notes this week, unless wielding shields with a scimitar no longer causes the shield to move erratically. So there's really not that much in the side release notes about this week.
I hadn't heard about that. But,
with speaking of scimitars, the new dragon scimitar design is out.
Yay, I haven't even seen any of these in-game yet.
It was option B, that one. And, you know, it looks a lot better than it did on the mock-up that they gave us when we were voting. So I'm quite happy with this choice.
I imagine it would, actually, now that they've implemented it, it probably is. Because everything that they sort of do in the way of graphical updates, they can't really go wrong these days, can they?
No, I mean, it's going to be better, of course, than what it was before, right?
Yeah.
Even that's not... The one on their news post isn't fully representative, I don't think, but...
Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
Maybe if I go RSWiki Dragon Scimitar.
I like that Dragon Scimitar. I used it for the battles today on the quest, actually. I don't know. I just felt like using it.
Oh, okay. That actually looks quite nice now. It's more naturally held.
Yeah, and it actually looks more dangerous, I think.
It has a cool special attack.
Oh, I didn't do the special attack yet. I'll have to try that out.
It's there.
Oh, I can't go to RSWiki. They have ads on their site that play video now.
Sorry, okay, I'll send you the individual image.
Yeah, that would be good. So.
There.
Oh, yeah, that looks good. It's actually more like you'd use it and not just a single swipe.
Yeah.
That's good. Okay.
Anywho.
Moving on. This month we're also getting a Dragon Defender.
Oh, that's in the behind the scenes, right. See, someone mentioned this and I was like, what? They didn't even say anything about a Dragon Defender. So I had a brief look around. I don't know why I didn't look at the behind the scenes. I must not have seen that.
So they're going to be, of course, it's going to be again on the top floor of the Warriors Guild with the pet Cyclopses that are... Hold legendary, so.
Interesting. That could be good. I might be able to sell my Dragonfire Shield and get something half decent.
Yeah, maybe. You should sell it. I got rid of mine.
Yeah, I don't really need it. I mean, it's just to make me look powerful and rich, basically. So.
But it says, more than just a ferocious temper lies in wait for those brave warriors. For a new eyeball-oriented costume mask, and of course, the Dragon Defender itself should soon be available to those that step in the ring. So, I kept Warriors Guild tokens. I'm glad I kept mine from way back when the Warriors Guild first came out. I knew I was keeping those for a reason, you know?
Yeah.
Because you do this thing when it first comes out, but now it's... You don't think you're going to be useful, but I guess so. Anyways. Next up comes the hit splats that we saw back in August, I think, in that developer blog about what they're going to be doing with this. The one that'll show you exactly how much you've done and what kind of damage has been done on an NPC. They say that, for instance, NPCs and boss monsters can deal with this issue because their life points reach far beyond 99. They're talking about... the imbalance between potential damage per minute and damage capacity of higher level players. You know, because a Because we only have 990 life points, whereas an NPC can have, I think this one today had 3,000, one of the bosses. So, anyways, so they're going to be attempting to deal with that in the new year. It says it's going to be a huge addition to the defense skill and defensive equipment. We're aiming to add damage-soaking stats, currently only applied on the Chaotic, Eagle Eye, and Farseer Kite Shields, to the majority of head, ooh, body, and leg shield slot equipment. Damage-soaking will help reduce all incoming damage values over 200 life points, with higher grades of equipment offering a greater percentage of soak, with members' equipment offering the greatest percentage of all. It'd be interesting to see how they're going to do this in regards to the defense skill, because if the soaking is done by the item, that doesn't really count as a skill in my view, you know, but this will come to that when it ships, you know?
Yeah, I don't really have much to say on that really, but it's a whole new paradigm.
Yeah. Once launched, you'll be able to identify your character's damage in multiplayer situations so you know which splats are yours when fighting boss monsters with your clan or group. Visually how much damage your armor is soaking. Identify the type of damage being dealt to you, allowing you to adjust your armor and prayers more accurately. Identify reflected damage. Use the max hit splat to easily spot when you're dealing huge swaths of damage. So, you know, I think this update will be a good addition to it. I imagine we're going to see some people whining and complaining about the soaking aspect of it, because that wasn't initially stated, and, you know, it might have a possibility of affecting the game on a higher level, but, you know, that's too bad. That's just the way the ball bounces, and you have to deal with it, so.
Yeah. I for one, I'm just keen to see how they implement it, what they actually do, because it is a massive change, as they say.
Yeah, it hasn't been. I don't think combat has changed at all since RuneScape 2 first came out. When you think about it, you know. So this will be good. Maybe it'll make combat a little bit better and not so much of a dice roll kind of thing, you know.
Fun stuff. It does, on the other hand, though, it does add another aspect of complexity to the system.
I'm
interested to see how that affects sort of new players, because when I start playing a game, I don't want to be deterred early on by a lot of different sorts of
systems.
Yeah,
they need to keep it simple, you know.
Yeah, but it would be good if they could add sort of start adding it in gradually as the armor or the defense level gets higher.
Yeah,
maybe it becomes more focused.
They're going to have to know what each splat means, and for new accounts, sure, they can do that in the tutorial, but new accounts have already been created. They're not going to be able to tell that easily, so you got to.
It's fine for us learning something new, of course, because we already know how to use what is there, but otherwise it could be a bit daunting to start with, but that's it.
Yeah.
I'm sure they will work something out.
And, of course, the Christmas update going to be called. They're hoping it'll be a very merry Fremy Christmas. It's going to be held at Damenheim this year for a traditionally non-traditional RuneScape holiday event. Join us for seal sliding, icicle lighting, snow angels, and much, much more as the Fremenic try to bring Christmas cheer to the dungeons of Damenheim.
Must they?
If you're successful, you'll be invited to attend the Heimland Games for snowmobile fighting, snowman decorations, ice skating, and even more seal sliding. Arp, arp. And of course, I say costumes and emotes, but I don't know. What do you think?
I'm not really too fussed. As long as I pick up the rewards like every year just to keep it going.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I kind of wish they'd be doing more traditional things, but I'm hoping they'll get it right. Anyways. Just one more thing. I didn't put this in initially in the show, but there is a developer blog about the Dragon Scimitar changes and how with the new engine they're able to have it extend out of the modeling box.
Oh, yeah, I read that.
Yeah, it's just what you noticed, and then they have pictures of what it would be like before in the forced wheel box. You know how people held the scimitar like up like a torch, you know?
Yeah.
So
it's not the best written article. It's almost as if no one proofread it.
Oh, really?
I had a lull.
Okay.
yeah, but still. Why? It's interesting, but whoever wrote it is clearly a developer and not a writer. I will just
say. Yeah, of course.
Still.
Anyways. So there's one more thing in, or two more things in community things. First up, the Gelenor Globe, which is a RuneScape newsletter put on by the Jagex Forum mods. So they got things like the introductions, they got things about the quest and whatnot. You know, I get one of these kind of things in email, actually.
Whenever there's a new piece of content.
They email me. They email me.
Whom?
Jagex. You don't get those emails? Oh.
No.
Have you not added an email to your Chief Snake account?
I have. But I don't get any emails. Maybe you have to sign up.
Yeah, you have to turn that on under account management.
Oh, no way I would be turning that on.
Oh, it's a good thing.
I get enough junk.
They're visually appealing, actually. Anyways, so check out the Gelenor Globe on your own time. It's basically a condensed RSBNB Informer kind of thing of RuneScape news, put on by Jagex. Anyways, you'll remember last week they had the RuneScape Gods Exposed monkey voice acting competition. This week they're having a poster competition for the movie.
Vaguely.
So, they say, we're calling on all artists, photoshoppers, and those with a penchant for promotion to take us to make us a movie poster advertising to Noob Show's latest thought-provoking masterpiece. The winner will see their poster feature in the RuneScape Gallery, adorning fan sites and the Cannes Film Festivals. Okay, maybe not the Cannes Film Festival, but you get the idea. Why don't you enter? You've made posters before.
Oh, it's a poster. I wasn't even listening. Right. So, what? I could enter.
It's a movie poster.
Do you have any ideas for me?
No.
That would involve booting into Windows, though, so that I can actually do a good job. Photoshop CS5. Nah, I can't be bothered.
Okay. So, anybody else out there who's interested, you can have a crack at it. And, you know, I bet if you were to do something, it would make it to the gallery phase.
I actually doubt it, because you would probably have to do a bit of drawing or something to do with, you know, RuneScape characters and things. You can't really do that. I mean, I don't have any artistic skill. I only have technical knowledge of Photoshop, and that's why I'm good at using, why I get far in art design and all these things. But anyway,
yeah, that's it for RuneScape updates this week.
Oh. Yeah, if anyone can draw me some good imagery, I'll collaborate with you.
Well, that'd be interesting. You could make it. What was it? An A1 paper size thing you had to do for your art final project?
I had to do 3 of those A1 panels.
You could do one of those for this?
No way.
Okay.
Twice is enough.
Well, let's move on then. Questions this week. We got 5, or no, I mean 4 audio questions, sorry. Earth, we had to pull your audio question at the last minute. Anyways, the first audio question is from Knack.
Hey, RCMB, what is the most unusual object that someone might find in your room that would make them scratch their head, if any? That's all. Knack.
Oh, I know what mine is. Do you know what yours is?
Oh, do you? I'd forgotten to think about it, actually. Just having a look around now. What's yours?
Well, I think about 10 years ago, I brought home a bottle of water from
Bohol's
at Banff National Park. Like, water from the glacier. I put it in a bottle, and yeah, it's still in my closet.
What?
Yeah. I don't know. I just thought it'd be fun to do, so I brought home a bottle of water from Bohol's, Banff National Park, and it's still in my room.
Okay. It's not really a lot in my room. It's out of the ordinary.
Well, that's good.
I suppose it is, yeah, but it's not interesting. I have a box that my motherboard came in, just sitting there at the moment.
Oh, that's okay.
You don't get that in everyone's rooms. Let's have a look in my cabinet down here, out of sight.
Yeah, you can hear that little noise there. Yeah,
I am leaning right into my computer fan, so I'll move in a second, it'll be fine. What do I have? Okay, I don't really have anything down here either. How boring. How utterly boring. Whoops, pulled on it. Oh, I know. I have stuck to my notice board thing here. If I get something and want to put it on show, I just stick it. So I got this thing, anyway, covered in notes and things. I have a relatively burnt piece of paper, which I actually managed to burn a hole in. I did quite well. Someone wrote me a letter in invisible ink.
Okay.
I had to use a candle to decipher it, to make the invisible ink visible. I managed to burn a hole in it while I was trying to... So anyway, I have this very burnt-looking piece of paper stuck to my notice board here. It's probably the most interesting thing in my room. Yeah. Easily, without a doubt. Yeah, that's me. That was a good question.
All right. Thank you, Nak. Next one is from Merciful.
Hi, guys. Back in August, Susie, Angel, and I made a live-action video for the RuneFest Golden Gnome Awards 2010. We chose to make a short video called Come Dine with Merc, in which I made a gnome cocktail Choc Saturday in the style of a cookery show. If you were to make any drink or food from RuneScape, what would you pick? Oh, and beer doesn't count.
We were talking about this one before the show, too, actually. So
briefly. Because we didn't know what we would pick.
Yeah, so what'd you settle on?
Oh, that's not fair. I haven't settled on anything. Don't have any idea in the slightest. Oh, what? Shut up, dog. People live to infuriate me tonight. Okay.
What was that? Was that the door or the window?
I actually don't know what that is, but I was just closing my curtains. I really don't. There's a voice. Can't recognize who it is. Sounds old.
Uh-oh.
Anyway, I don't have anything. Do you?
Summer pie.
Oh, yeah, that's right. But that's boring, because...
Why?
You pretty much stole what I would have done. Summer pie I would have used that as well.
You think?
I mean, I haven't made anything interesting in RuneScape a very long time.
Yeah, you know, I always buy my own. I buy my stuff as well, so
God,
I wouldn't make
shaking.
What?
I know who's here because the floor is shaking.
Okay. Yeah, so summer pie is what I would make. I forget what you even put in that.
I don't have a clue either.
So
I made them back because I assume you did the same thing for
agility.
Yeah.
But I didn't have 95 cooking, so.
Oh, okay. How'd you make them?
Pie dish, pastry dough, strawberry, watermelon, and an apple. I bought them. That's why I'd make it if I could.
That's cheating. Okay, well, I cheated
as
well.
No, I mean, I thought it was make it in real life, you know?
Okay.
So, that's what I
would
make.
What about a garden pie, then?
Isn't that the one you make with dirt?
Sure,
it's a dirt pie or something?
Quite healthy.
I don't know. I'm not going to go eating dirt.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm not going to eat dirt. What kind of idea is that?
What kind of freak are you? I think it would be quite
nutritious. Have you ever eaten dirt?
Not specifically.
Okay, just wondering. By the way, garden pie is tomato, onion, cabbage, and pastry dough. Shut up. Anyway.
What was that?
That was the ad I was telling you about when I was looking up the garden pie ingredients.
Oh, okay. Well, at least you don't have people in the background. Can you hear anyone?
No, I can't. I can't.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, I can't. Bastards. Why? Who is it?
God! Never mind. We'll talk about this afterwards.
Okay. Next audio question.
No one's bashed on me yet.
It's Gnome Thorian.
Dear Shane and Chief Snake, Gnome Thorian here as always, and I have two questions this week. First, what are your predicted experiences for this month's Skill of the Month? I'm personally trying to get at least a 500k, but I don't know if I will, but I'll try my best. And secondly, it's my birthday today, and I was just wondering, what's the best birthday gift you ever got? Thanks. I'm Thorin.
So what's your prediction for your Skill of the Month XP?
My prediction, when my dog stops barking, would probably be something like 5 mil. I can't. What did I get in the last farming Skill of the Month? It would have been something like that as well. I hadn't really thought about how much XP it would get me.
Yeah, neither did I. So, farming 2009, you got 5.6 million XP.
That's fairly respectable.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'll be able to sustain the same amount.
Day. I don't know myself as well. So
I'm not as rich as I once was. Actually, no, I'm probably about the same, except the seeds cost more now.
Yeah, that's true. Given a magic seed is what? What did we pay for those 294k?
Yeah, something absolutely insane. But I only spent something like 40 mil last time, I'm sure.
Okay.
It was only something like that. And this time I've spent double that already.
I'm not going to say how much I've spent because I don't want anybody to get any ideas, so...
You say so.
That's a little secret for myself and myself to know. Birthday gifts.
Birthday gifts. Oh, yes. We were just talking about this before the show as well. I was saying I'd just gone to a get-together, like an end of exams, actually, party at my French teacher's house. And her husband is also my Yetin maths teacher. It was a very entertaining experience. But we played this game where we had to ask questions of each other. And anyway, so I got this exact question. I said on the spot, I thought of it. When I was very young, I got a toy monkey. I was very happy with that toy monkey. That was probably my favorite present.
Okay. Honestly, I can't remember my birthday presents. I don't remember.
Neither can I. That's probably why I thought of that.
You know, I just can't. I don't know why. So.
Yeah. I mean, what else have I actually got for my birthday? I don't get a lot of things bought for me anymore, so.
Clothes?
Oh, yeah, clothes. Clothes. No, I buy mostly my own clothes.
Hmm. Well, in that case, I think we should be moving on then. Thank you, Noam Thorian, unless you can think of anything at which I can't.
No, nothing really extra, no, I'm afraid.
Alrighty. Next one is from Asa.
Asa.
Dear Shane and Brad, I was wondering this week, what were your favorite shows as a kid? Among my favorites were Sesame Street, Bill Nye the Science Guy, Star Trek, haha, and others such as The Magic School Bus or Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. I was wondering, what did you watch as a kid? And was there anything truly specific just to Canada or New Zealand, or were they mostly stateside shows? Thanks for the great show. ExileQ/BrimK/Asa.
You want to go first, or should I?
Bill Nye the Science Guy, or Bill whoever he was, the Science Guy.
Oh, you guys had that there. That's
no,
great.
No. I've never heard of him before, but well, I mean, not in New Zealand. But I was going to ask because it rings a bell from somewhere. I can't remember if it was you or someone else who mentioned him to me.
He was this tree hugging science guy who did science experiments and stuff, and kind of looked at things from a younger person's perspective on science. We watched him a lot in school.
Oh, what? How do you spell his last name?
N-Y-E.
Oh, okay, I thought so.
He's appeared on CNN, too. I don't know why he'd be on CNN, but yeah.
Has he been... Oh, no, okay, I'm completely wrong.
Okay.
Never mind.
I'm waiting for your New Zealand TV shows you told me about once when you were a kid. Well...
Really? Have I told you about them? Because I don't know. Nothing.
I don't know. There's some little show you talked about once. It was something you watched, wasn't it?
Barney?
Oh, yeah, we had that too.
I don't know. I never really watched much of that.
We had that here. Anything?
Teletubbies?
Oh yeah, we had that too, but that was before my time. I mean, after my time. I mean.
Okay, I don't remember if I actually watched any of that. I just remember that it was on. But yeah, I can't remember
what did you watch?
I myself watched.
Okay.
What was it? Sesame Street.
Oh yeah, we had that one too. I think I watched that one.
A little bit. Yeah, I can't really remember anything from when I was very young. I remember when I was younger, like school age.
Yeah, that counts. That counts.
Oh, okay. We used to go to my nan's house after school. Well, we waited for mum and dad to come home, so we used to watch TV there, and my nan pampered us and everything. So that was an interesting time in my life. But what did we watch? There was a show called Big Wolf on Campus. Have you ever heard of that?
I'm going to have to say no.
No, it was a very sort of stereotypical kids TV show. I mean, not kids, but yeah. Yeah, actually
okay.
Kids.
Anything else?
Nothing off the top of my head. Oh, I suppose there was, you know, everyone sort of watched Pokemon and Digimon.
Oh yeah, that's the one you told me about. That's the one you were interested in. Digimon,
really?
That's
oh.
It. Yeah, that's the one I was trying to think of. That's the one you
that
told me
so
about.
That was so cool. All of these were so long ago. This is extending my memory and
okay. Well, I'll go then. Of course, Star Trek from a very, very young age, I think. Yeah. I think Mr. Rogers, but not that much. Mr. Dress Up. Sesame Street. I'm struggling for names here.
Oh, yes, you've told me about Mr. Rogers before.
Yeah. Yeah, I really can't think of anything. I'm kind of in the same
Yeah, you see how it is?
You were right. I just got those three main ones, so...
Yeah, there are a lot of shows that we used to watch, but when you go to think of them, nothing's...
Yeah,
sort of
but
comes.
But the important one, like Star Trek, persists, you know?
Oh, yes. Of course.
Alrighty. Thank you. Thank you there, Asa. I'm sorry. We need like a week to think about these kind of questions or something, you know, because it's just hard to...
Well, we do kind of get a week. Oh, no, wait, this is an audio question.
Yeah, it is. So...
Even the regular questions, though...
And you know what? I swear this came up between us once upon a time, you know, just in our general discussions, but I can't think of it. So, anyways, thank you, Asa. We're going to move on to text questions now. Reminder, if you want to send us audio questions, those can go to questions@rsbnb.com, or you can phone us and leave us a voicemail at 571-572-2632, 571-57-BNB. Alrighty, so first text question from MageGuy08. Dear Shane and Chief, what are your thoughts on the latest leak of U.S. documents, referring to WikiLeaks? I myself think that in a time like this, the leak could cause some huge diplomatic problems between the U.S. and the rest of the world. Thanks from Magic. We actually got a forum topic about this going on right now.
We do.
So, anyways, you want to go first or should I?
I think, you go first. You'll have some thoughts to share.
Because I made a post on the topic about this exact issue, and, you know, there are people out there who think that this is a hilariously funny thing, you know, and this is just what the internet is for and whatnot like that, and it's perfect in exercising free speech in that way and whatnot. But the thing is, I'm going to start off with an analogy here. If you found a camera that belonged to your government's intelligence service and it had surveillance videos and images on it, what would you do with the SD card in that camera? Would you publish the potentially compromising images or would you attempt to return them?
I would attempt to return them, I suppose.
Okay, but good.
It depends what is contained therein. I mean, if it...
Things like this, you know?
Diplomatic things. Well, I haven't actually... I don't even know what's been published or anything. I've heard about this whole leak
just
thing.
Just general things on various little leadership people and whatnot that the U.S. has relations with. So.
Well, the thing is, from my opinion... and I think this has been posted almost verbatim in the topic anyway. I think that this is the United States government we're talking about, isn't it? I mean, and governments of the world, basically. These governments should not have anything to be worried about. I mean, if anything is going to be leaked, then it should be... stuff that they're okay with having being leaked. I mean, it's the same thing as if you're someone, okay, you're just a regular person. How do I explain this? Sorry, my way of living life is if I don't want something to be found out by my parents, if my parents wouldn't condone of me doing something, then I shouldn't do it. Okay,
that's right.
How I live life. So why should the government of the United States or any of the other governments of the world be exempt from this? If they're not okay, or if the people of that country or of the world are not okay with the government doing something, then why should they do it? Therefore, if something is leaked then from the government, then the people should... not have to worry about what is leaked. Does that make sense?
Yeah, sort of. But the thing is, still, with these things, they were initially intended to be private with of course, varying levels of confidentiality. So the person who leaks this is, of course, the main cause of the problem. But the thing that is the problem more so is that somebody received this and doesn't have the decency to respect the confidentiality label that is on that thing, you know? I think it's natural for governments and whatnot to keep secrets, even people. And, you know, if the way I see things, if nobody knows, there's nothing wrong with it. So, for instance, like...
There's nothing wrong with it.
Well, yeah, you know, like calling whatever they called the French Sarkozy a short troll or whatever. I don't know English those words, but it was some kind of insulting thing in relation to him. Of course, that's not a problem until it gets out. And the idea was that it wasn't going to get out, so it was meant to stay private, and it didn't. That's what the problem is, this guy.
Okay. But then you have to go back to the root of the problem and say, well, is it okay for them to say that? I mean, as a moral...
Yes, if nobody knows. If nobody knows.
People potentially can know. That's exactly where it comes back to just living your life by, you know, it's like do unto others as you would expect them to do to you. I'm sorry, that was a very bad quotation, but
I get where you're going, but still, like, things are going to happen like this, and it needs there always needs to be privacy in that kind of thing in relation to governments and whatnot. But the main issue is the WikiLeaks guy spreading it around. That is the issue at hand here.
The government guy
will get dealt with in his own way, of course, the way they'll deal with him. No questions about that. That would same thing happen if he was found leaking it to the Russians, say, back in the Cold War. That kind of the same thing would happen there. So, in a way, those kind of things have always been happening, but the main issue is the WikiLeaks guy spreading it around. That's the issue that people are stepping around. And they're saying, yes, this thing always happens, but yes, it's always been happening, but it didn't get handed off to someone, and that person didn't have the decency to take the information back, you know? I think there was one Republican congressman that said the WikiLeaks website should be considered a terrorist organization since that... of course, terrorist groups would have the ability to get the same kind of info from WikiLeaks. And yeah, that guy's right in that, in saying that. And
but why terrorist organization? Why?
Well, because that's the thing of the day. That's the flavor of the
day.
They're
only spreading the government's own documents. How is that terrorism?
There was initially military stuff in there. That's kind of where it comes from, you know. But granted, the stuff has been kind of diplomatic stuff, but it was military stuff to begin with, you know. So that's the same kind of thing I'm basing my argument on. Then we can take this, of course, a step further and say, why is this even happening? Why is this website still up? And we have to remember that it's 2010 and not 1993. And this is just highlighting the reason why the internet needs regulation. Why countries need the ability to block certain websites. Why countries need to have a doctrine that can refuse hosting of some kind of website that is illegal. Because the internet is becoming something everybody has. And it's just like as if it was real life. That goes back to my camera example. You would attempt to return it. That's the same thing that should have happened here. Same goes for bullying online. If somebody gets bullied or verbally assaulted in real life, they get charges pressed against them. Why can't that happen on the internet? This is just another reason why the internet needs regulation in 2010.
That's like I'm done now. A spoken essay right there. Okay, so what I was going to say before, actually, from a completely different perspective, you may have just converted me. Yeah, even though I'm not entirely sure
everyone.
About... Well, I don't know. I'm still not entirely sure about disallowing certain, you know, websites from being hosted, etc. But if I was thinking of this from your perspective, or just my perspective as a member of staff of, say, RSBNB, if we were sharing things with each other, certain information about, I don't know, people or things that we were doing,
that would be expected to stay private.
Then yes, that would be expected to stay private. So, yeah.
And the same thing, if somebody found them, it would come back to the same question. Do you do the right thing and return it, or do you do the childish thing and spread it around?
So what I'm seeing here is childishness, not terrorism.
Well, yeah, but it could have been, the earlier ones could have been used by the terrorist organizations, you know? So that's where that comes from. And, you know, the guy isn't even from the U.S., so they have no jurisdiction in that, which is partially why the internet needs regulation, because that way then the U.S. could just say, this is our end of the bargain, we're handling things from our end. Sweden, you handle this guy on your own. So.
Okay, so fundamentally, what could actually pose a threat, I mean, to the government?
Well, in the latest batch, just diplomatic relations in general, you know, the kind of feeling towards the U.S., which, you know, isn't exactly that great right now. So you have to think, what would that be doing? Okay. And they don't want that coming out.
So I'm just thinking from a purpose, why would they want to leak this stuff? Is it
exactly? It's just a childish thing to do. To maybe garner more fame for yourself or be anti-establishment, you know? Like, and that is why the internet needs regulation.
I don't agree with regulation of the internet. I still only think that this is childish. I can see from your point of view why you would want to invoke the banhammer, but otherwise... No, I mean, I think this stuff happens, and if you're a member of a government, I don't know, department, then you have to expect that it will happen, and you have to be ready for it when it happens. You have to conduct yourself accordingly.
Well, yeah, of course, but, you know,
I think it all comes 90% down to
that. of the time, that won't happen.
Yeah.
So, and then we go back to the original thing of the guy being childish, and who knows what. What is
yeah, it's a combination of things. I sort of half agree
yes.
with you, I think.
Okay, good. But, you know, like if this guy was an American, he could probably, they're not a lawyer, but who knows, there could be enough case for treason, which is the death penalty.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
well, yeah,
hardly.
Deliberately undermining the government and wanting to upset government relations and plans.
It's their own faults.
No, I don't think so.
It's a bit of both. It's a bit of both. Shall we move on?
Yes, we should. And that is on in the notes, the link to the topic for anybody who is interested. Thank you, Magic, for that question. Next one.
Rightio. Dear hosts, Shane, say you got a free trip to New Zealand, but your plane landed. Didn't we have this question last week?
No, we discussed it when it was posted. That's what you're thinking of.
Oh, okay. Shane, say you got a free trip to New Zealand, but your plane landed on the island that Chief isn't on. Would you go to visit or stalk him anyway? Chief, same question, except your plane... landed in Toronto. Here is a map, should you need it. Great show from Ice Black Dragon.
It'd be easier for me than it would be for you, seeing as Toronto is on the other side of the country, and it's a big country.
Yeah. How many kilometers would that be away from?
Oh, I don't know. Let me just quickly map it. Edmonton to Toronto. Edmonton to Toronto. Oh, Edmonton Oilers versus Toronto Maple Leafs, 5-0. That's the first Google result. Nice to know. It's hockey. All right, Edmonton to Toronto. Following one day, 14 hours by car, 3372 kilometers. 3,372 kilometers at the shortest.
Oh, my. That's quite far. Yeah, you would have a much easier time getting to me.
Yeah, you know, it would just be a simple matter of hopping the boat and going north, wouldn't it?
Basically, yeah.
So, yeah, I think I would, but I think Chief's answer would have to be no on that.
Well, either way, hop on another plane or something, but...
Yeah, because
it is far,
how
much would a plane fare be from Toronto?
Yeah, I think to equalize things, you'd have to say Calgary instead of Toronto for it to be the same distance.
Oh, okay.
But
yeah, anyway, yeah, that's so from Calgary.
Great distances between the places here.
Yep.
Thank you, Ice. This next one is from Suerte. I'm hoping I'm saying that right. It sounds French, so I'm just going to say Suerte on that. Hello, Shane and Brad. My question is, what do you use to create the banners on the RSBNB website? Also, Brad, have you ever heard of the pets named Sugar Bears? Keep up the great show from Suerte. This is actually, both of these are for you.
As for pets named Sugar Bears, I'm pretty sure I've never heard of them before. No, I'm afraid.
Yeah, neither have I.
I'm not sure what that is supposed to be referring to, but anyway, I'll just continue. The banners on the RSBNB website are made in Photoshop, and they were made by me. Basically, they're a combination of images from the RuneScape website, images that they've made available as wallpapers, I think, and I just cut some of those out, you know, did some recoloring and added in my background magic.
Special sauce.
Yep.
Yeah, you're still pretty upset about that background, aren't you?
I mean, I'm upset about the whole website, but that's just me. No, look, I don't even really like those banners even more anymore.
Really?
I like the header. I never really did to begin with. They're quite basic.
It's good. I don't know. I think the site is good in that respect. It's definitely evolved because it used to be more green.
Oh,
we took it more monochrome since it actually came out with this design, if you remember.
Yeah, yeah. There is a lot I would like to do with it, given the chance now. But
yeah,
I mean, I run a stylish extension. Sorry.
Yeah, you said you wanted to redesign the website for that thing you're working on, didn't you?
That thing I'm working on. I would love to redesign the website for a multitude of reasons, but...
It's just... that would be too much work for what it's worth right now, you know? So.
Yeah, and I'm sure you and Mike don't really want to do a whole other...
No, we like it how it is. Minor changes only. Please. Yeah. Anyways, I think that covers that one.
But, yeah, that's about it. Ferret Ninjas, good morning to you hilarious voices inside my iPod. I have only two questions this week, if my memory is correct. Do you guys have any favorite animals? Mine are lemurs and penguins. Do you have any favorite animals, Shane?
No, not really. I don't think so. No.
Neither do I, not really.
Yeah, we're not interested in animals, I don't think, particularly.
Yeah. I mean, I have a dog, as you can see, but he's a yappy thing.
Well, most of the times he's not.
He's very nice. He's just yappy whenever visitors come. Anyway, number two, Shane, I was on eBay looking to see if there was some Mafia 2 games up for bids and came across something called a Pippin. What the heck is it? Because I ain't never heard of it. Gracias, ferret ninjas. P.S. I almost forgot to add in a little Spanish for you, Chief. Luckily, I remembered you just before I hit submit. Why, thank you.
The Pippin is the predecessor of the iPhone and iPod Touch, basically Apple's original attempt at gaming. So
really?
Yeah, it was. Apple Pippin from the mid-90s.
I've never heard of that. Oh, okay.
So, you know, it was really quite interesting to see the way they're going with this gaming because it's such a different approach from what Pippin was, or even a standalone console, PS3 or Xbox. So, but you know, it didn't work, of course. So, basically, it was Apple's attempt at gaming before they became a decent company again. So, they only sold about 42,000 units, according to Wikipedia. So, it wasn't that great of a hit compared to even the iPods as they are now. You know, because I think that's Apple's best foray into gaming right now is the whole iOS avenue, because there's so many games on there that are unique and actually are selling well, as we talked about last week, Angry Birds moving to consoles in 2011, which started out on iOS. So, anyways, that's what a Pippin is. Thank you, Ferret Ninjas. Next one, from Owned for Your Sake. Dear Shane and Chief Snake, I've just come back to RuneScape after a long break and started listening to the podcast again. I was wondering where host Brad went from last year. You can take that one, since you filled in for him.
Okay. Monsieur Bradley went to... Well, he wouldn't like that, would he? No, Monsieur Bradley joined the... Oh, why did I just do it again? Joined the RAF and had to leave us, basically. And so I was brought in to replace him. And I hope I have done an adequate job of that, even though Brad could never really be replaced. But yeah, that's basically all there is to it. There was a story a bit later on, but you know, we won't go into that. He's still around nowadays.
Yeah, he pokes in every so often. We had him on the show back in June. I forget what episode number that was exactly. But if you go to update.rsbnb.com and go to the bottom, you will see a section where you can select June 2010, and he's on one of those shows from this year. So have a listen to that, and yep, that has the full story right there. So, anyways, next. Oh,
what is
I
the
read
new
this
RSBNB
one.
Season? Yeah.
That's Bits Bytes, one word, BITSBYTES, all one word. So I think that pretty much covers this one. Thank you, Owen, for your sake, who says,
love
the podcast and did you the great work. So this brings us to our last question from Jackie. You want to take it?
All right. I'll do half. It's a long one. Dear Shane and Chief Snake, Chief_Snake, I just have two questions for you this week. Firstly, I'm very OCD when it comes to thinking of a username. It once took me 2 to 3 weeks to decide on one that was available, seeing as my name in real life was taken. I was wondering if you're the same way, and that will you ever change your display names?
No.
Yeah, I what was that? No.
I'm not changing mine.
Oh, right. Yeah, I don't think I will ever change my display name just because I want to keep the two spaces. Other than that,
yeah,
yes, I am.
That's definitely a good reason.
Yeah, I don't really like it, but, you know, gotta keep the spaces.
It's your trademark. But, it's your trademark.
Yeah, I know, exactly. So, yeah, I am quite OCD. Nowadays, I am. If I can't get Brad, then I have difficulty thinking of something.
Yeah, you know, that's the same kind of thing. It kind of depends on the service, you know, and whatnot, but I really am at the point where I just don't really care. It's something with Shane in it, if it's a website or I tend not to do the Shane 12088 thing anymore because that brought on a huge array of copycats, which both Mike and I decided that we did not like the amount of people who were adding that to their name, so I've stopped using that kind of thing as a new thing to add on to the name. So yeah, but it is hard coming up with a decent username. You know, the RuneScape name generator that they have in the display name changer thing doesn't help, because it doesn't even suggest things that are decent. You know, I think one of the ones it gave me was farming watermelons once, or something of that nature, something to do with watermelons. So
it's kind of cool for a random generator, but apart from that,
yeah, it is. But you know,
it doesn't give you anything useful.
Yeah. So, anyways, the second part is that I mentioned I script in a language called MSL, which is based around a program called Merc, MIRC. Sort of chat client where you can create your own channels. It's pretty useful for chatting in group events. I was wondering if you'd ever consider opening a channel of sorts there, or even owning a server. The simple answer to this one is no, because the company we rent our web hosting server from, the RSBNB server, does not permit any connection whatsoever of any type to be made to an IRC server or hosting IRC server. So that's why we don't do the whole IRC thing. It's prohibited by the server company we rent from. And the clan chat is what we are using right now as our official chat. So
yeah, we don't really need anything more than that.
No, it would be too much to manage if there was, you know. You really can only have one, whether it be the clan chat or do you. It'd just be too much to be moving between stuff.
Yeah, we have had this debate before, really. Not specifically for IRC, but yeah.
Yeah, they're kind of chats, so.
Anyway.
Thanks from Jackie. P.S. You're forgiven, Chief, for mispronouncing my name. Side note, if you use SwiftKit, there's a RuneScape-based server with about 9,000 plus users that would create back in 2007. Yes, we know that. I don't know, I don't like IRC. Anyways. Anything else?
Nope.
All right.
Thank you for
your
questions.
That's it for questions. Next week's topic will be posted late Monday. So late Monday, North American time, and you can do that and post your questions there. As we said earlier, send us an email with an audio question or phone us. Chief, what's the number?
571-572232. What?
571-572-2632. I think you got it right.
Yes, I did. Ha! Oh my gosh.
Anyways, we're going to move right on to tech news now. So first up, in the kind of TV space thing, Microsoft is going to be creating a TV service that you'll use through your Xbox. So Apple's got Apple TV, Google's got their own Google TV thing, but of course Microsoft is going to want in on this. So within the next year, they're going to be launching their own internet TV platform. So it's going to be a pay television subscription that would allow people to view content through multiple Microsoft devices, such as the Xbox. And they've already tested this by adding live stream ESPN content to Xbox Live in 2010.
Oh my god!
You know, it's typical Microsoft. You know, too little, too late. That's exactly what this is going to be. You know,
this is so rubbish.
Like Google said, we're going to have this out around September. That became October. Then at the beginning of September, Apple said, we're redoing Apple TV. That'll be out at the end of the month. But of course, Microsoft, yeah, sometime in the next year, you know? In the meantime, everybody's got their Apple TVs, Roku boxes, and Google TVs and whatnot. So really, it's the same thing with Microsoft. I don't expect this to go anywhere.
Yeah. I don't really expect Google TV to go very far either.
No, so, what I've heard is it's overly complex to use.
Oh, okay.
Like you have to use a keyboard with it.
Oh, wow.
I don't know. I don't think I'd want to use a keyboard at the TV.
Oh, actually, I remember that. Yeah, I remember seeing a remote like that. But, yeah, I can't really see any of the... I mean, even Apple TV, it's hard to say, because Apple are the only ones who have done this with absolute finesse, you know?
Yes, they've yeah.
Done it to perfection. They know exactly the product they want to market.
And... yeah, and as I said last week, or whenever iOS 4.2 came out, we just got AirPlay, meaning you can send the videos from your computer to the Apple TV, which is a whole unified system in itself, and it just works. It's
I mean, Apple have got it down.
Completely hassle-free. What would really push Apple TV over the head with this would be an app store on Apple TV, meaning, of course, you could then turn Apple TV into a gaming platform, just like the iPad, iPhone, and iPods are. So that would be interesting to see them go in that direction with that. And, you know, once again, Microsoft is not going to have that thing until after Apple does. So
yep.
Definitely got my money on Apple for that in relation. But the only thing is, of course, that you can't pass through your existing TV signal. So you can't use Apple TV while you're watching regular TV. You need to switch inputs for that, which is kind of annoying. Uh-huh. Like that you wouldn't be able to, say, double tap the menu button and have the little dock thing pop up to get information about the show that's currently on. But that's not what the Apple TV is right now. It's a streaming-only device. It would be interesting, but I don't think Apple would do such a thing.
Yeah.
Anything else?
Anyway. Not really.
Alrighty. And again, same on the TV front, Hulu is looking to expand outside the U.S. Do you know what Hulu is?
Vaguely.
Basically, it's a website you can go to where you can watch videos of a whole bunch of TV shows from NBC, ABC, and Fox online for a small subscription fee, I believe. And it's pretty high quality, too. So, or no, it's ad-supported. Okay.
Ad-supported, yeah, so. I thought so. Because... Paul uses this, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does. And it's too bad it's US only.
I just think of Paul when I think
because,
of Hulu, because... Yeah.
Because if we were able to have that, then it would pretty much, I think for me, negate the need for an actual TV. Just watch all the shows on there, because it'd just be simpler. Because as it is right now, the only thing I use the TV for is the news as an old habit kind of thing. I could go without the news on the TV, just go with online news. And then, of course, new TV shows and whatnot. That's the main reason why. So.
Yep.
But anyways, people are thinking that this will have problems like Pandora had, you know, they'll have problems getting licensing in all the different countries and everything, you know, so.
Oh, okay.
Which would be too bad, so, you know, 2011 should be pretty interesting on this front.
Easy TV.
That would be nice to have here. Easy TV, what's that?
You know, Easy TV.
Oh, okay. Oh, right.
So much simpler.
We don't advocate that kind of thing, though.
It's not a good
thing to advocate. Okay, but that doesn't mean people have to go out there and do it. Anyways, on that note, moving on to IP addresses and IP version 4. We're running out of IP version 4 addresses this time. Really? Just
weeks.
This past week. Yeah, weeks left on this. Another two blocks of 16.8 million IP version 4 addresses were allocated, and they're currently down to seven blocks of 16.8 million IP addresses. Basically, what that means is for every IP address, say 192.168.1.1 in the local sense, 192 is the starting one, then you can have 16 million IPs after that. It's just a simple 256 to the power of 3. So. Anyways, this means that Just as a bit of a comparison, in 2009, 8 of these blocks were given out of 16 million IPs. Then in the previous 4 years, they were between 9 and 13 each year. So, and then first 11 months of 2010, already at 19 of them. So yeah, IP addresses are running out. People say it could easily be extended until probably late 2011 or 2012, but after that, IP addresses are pretty much gone. And then there's a result of this infrastructure switch over to IP version 6 is needed, which has plenty of space.
So how will that occur?
Well, it has to first... It first has to happen in terms of the operating systems and their network stacks. If you're running Windows Vista or Windows 7, you'll be fine. Or Mac OS, you'll be fine.
Oh.
Linux will be fine as well. So pretty much any older OS will need some sort of update to support IP version 6. I think XP has it as of Service Pack 3. And then the ISPs need to convert over. They need to convert all their hardware over, and then it just goes up and up further along the line to convert their hardware over to IP version 6 capable. People have been being pressured to convert for such a long time, but I don't know any ISPs here in North America that give out IP version 6 addresses. So, suffice to say, we need this conversion to happen because new IP addresses are going to be needed, and IP version 6 provides that amount of room, and everybody on this world would be able to have their own IP address. I think it's something to the order of magnitude that each molecule on the Earth would be able to have its own IP address in the IP version 6 space.
That's good. Anyway.
That's it for tech news. Moving on to some other things, perhaps.
Ooh. Right now.
Skill of the Month update. You're in it. So am I.
You can read this.
Okay, it's farming. Or no, we should say first that the November Skill of the Month ended, which was the cooking Skill of the Month. Charity Games won, of course.
But that was
pretty
really
much the same
surprise.
Thing as what we talked about last week. The final XP he gained was 46.5 million XP.
Pretty crazy, to say the least.
Yeah, it is.
But congratulations.
So congratulations to him. But on to farming now.
I suppose.
Farming, 3 million XP gained so far. You're in first place with 656K.
Damn straight.
I'm in second place with 653K, which
that's,
I would have passed you for.
That's such an amazing gain. I mean,
yeah, you know, I would have passed you if I would have taken a break and done a watermelon run before going to eat like I was going to tonight.
I know. I cannot believe we came so close, but seriously, I got 48K XP the other day from an effigy. How the hell did you make that up?
I don't know. But
how the hell did you get 48k XP on me without... Oh, it's a bit depressing. I don't know how I'm going to stay in the lead, so...
I would have had more, except my Calquit didn't finish on time today.
Yeah, that's true. I didn't have a Calquit today either, so... Speaking of which...
Anyways. It's time for your farming run, isn't it?
That's right.
Anyways, we should say that also... Cevese won. Brian is in third place with 566k experience.
Oh,
we
probably should. No! My herbs are not ready. They're almost ready.
So we're going to be farming through December. So.
Oh, well. Go and do my cup. No! I forgot to bring a teleport. Oh, my God. I'm stuck on the top of Trollheim.
Homeport.
Oh, I could use that. I always forget that exists. Bloody RuneScape Classic.
Yeah, I got an achievement for homeporting called Click Your Heels Together.
Oh, okay. I'll do that then.
So, that's the Skill of the Month update, so farming. Good fun for us.
Yes.
It's
the most fun I've had in a long time.
Yeah, you know,
yes, I got the achievement. Click your heels 3 times.
Oh, good. I'm not going to say how much I've invested in a skill of the month, but...
Suffice to say, you're going to win.
I don't think so.
I do.
I don't think so. I don't think I'm going to win.
Really?
No,
do you think
I don't.
Brian will win?
No. I'm going to make sure that doesn't happen.
Shizer, I put in my pin wrong. Then do you actually think I'm going to win?
Yes, I think you're going to win.
Yes. Who has more money out of us?
I can't comment
on
that.
I'm pretty sure it's you, isn't it?
I
thought you were more loaded than I was. Oh, well.
I can't comment on that.
We will see, I suppose.
I can't comment on that.
See who has the guts to sell more stuff before the month ends.
I can't comment on that.
Oh, be quiet. November Informer Roundup.
Which has a rather interesting title come up that Kala came up with. When I was doing these Informer Roundups, I was never able to come up with these, you know? Dungeon November Earring Review. Ah. So basically, this is a consolidation of everything that happened on RSBNB Informer in the month of November, including pretty much everything from community building, warp floors, disposable characters, living rock caverns, dungeoneering journals, and our guest article also about dungeoneering. Then, of course, the gaming article by Kulla, and my two tech articles, which I highly recommend you read, both Censoring in the Gaming Industry and Intel's New CPU Chips. Personally, the article entitled Intel P5 to Sandy Bridge and Beyond is the better one to read, in my view.
I agree.
So, that'll be that, informer.rsbnb.com. You can find that there. Now, it's December now. It means that time of the year is coming when we wrap up the year with a clip show and a special show of some sort, which we're not entirely set on. But we want your clips. So if you remember something from earlier this year in RSBNB Update, any of the episodes that took place in 2010, we want you to tell us what they were. And you can find out how to do that at update.rsbnb.com/2010clips.
Yes.
That's update.rsbnb.com/2010clips. And then there you'll be greeted with a nice form, episode number, and all. Please try to be as thorough as you can when filling it out, because, you know, if we get an episode number and a general description, that won't be good, because I'm not going to be going through each episode to find these clips that were suggested, unless they have timestamps. I myself have a collection of clips I've been keeping through the year, but I do want everybody else's clips as well. So,
yeah.
update.rsbnb.com/2010clips.
We are relying on you, mostly.
And me.
A bit.
You know, we're actually going to have some of a clip show this year for the first... Last year we only had a clip show for the last 8 months of 2009, because... The first 4 months were wiped away by a hard drive failure.
That's true, I remember that.
So, we should be good for this year, I think.
Damn.
Anyways,
hard drives.
Oh my, we got lots of achievements this week, don't we?
We do have a few. I suppose I could just spiel them off if you want. From the top, we have Dragonkin892, who got 100 Dungeoneering on December 2nd. Pretty impressive. Also on December 2nd was Gnome Thorian with 98 woodcutting. I hear he is going to get 99 shortly, I think.
Well, that's good.
But I thought he was going to get that in like a couple of days, so I don't know. Maybe he will. Maybe he will very quickly. Anyway, Pirate Sock got 98 fishing on December 2nd, and he also got 99 cooking on November 30th. Congratulations, Pirate Sock. Jade Gizmo got 97 fishing on the 30th of November as well. Thought I'd put that in there. Zant Felsi got 99 attack on November 29th, and he got 98 attack last week as well. So
excellent.
Wasn't expecting that. iDog Ismo got 98 farming on November 28th. Do you have a clever jingle for that?
No, I don't. I just have to say it's farming, so that's good.
98 farming. Anyway. Adiv got 96 agility on November 27th. We do like our agility. And finally, Gotham got 98 crafting and 98 magic on November 26th. So,
alrighty then.
That's everyone.
That's a pretty packed week. Congratulations to everybody there.
Thank you for making our lives more interesting.
Yeah, that is lots of achievements compared to the one we had, just the one we had last week. So I know I went to Zant's 99 attack party because he PM'd me on the forums when it was about to happen.
Oh, that's nice.
You know, I'll do such a thing. Just make sure you give me enough notice. Usually an hour or so is good, and I'll see what I can do.
I meant to come to that as well, but I didn't. Well, I did have enough notice.
Yeah, I forget where you were.
I was at work, I think.
That's right.
So sorry about that. I will make it if I can, but I'm still quite busy these days. Even though school's finished. But you have a pick for us, Shane.
Yeah, I do. It's an iOS game. I think it's all three, but I have it for the iPad. It's called Cut the Rope. It's another little physics game. Basically, what you want to do with this one is you're presented with each certain set of levels you have to work through, and in each level you need to get the candy into the mouth of this thing. I'm not sure what it is, but they get progressively harder as you go along, and they add more complexity to it. For instance, eventually they'll add a spider on the rope, so you have to cut the rope before the spider gets to the candy and takes it away. So basically what you do is, on each level, you use your fingers to cut the rope and get it in. There's also bubbles to make it bubble up and that kind of thing. So it's pretty much a physics game that uses mechanics of a pendulum and stuff like that. And I'd say it's a close second to Angry Birds, but nothing beats Angry Birds in terms of iOS games. So if you have an iOS device, check out Cut the Rope. It doesn't hold your attention, I find, as it's because I think it's not as easy to play as Angry Birds is, you know? Like, yeah, you have to kind of think with this one, but I like it. But so let's Cut the Rope for iOS and other devices like that. I mean, other iOS devices. I'm not sure what it is. I think it was fairly cheap, too. It was no more than $2, so definitely check it out. There's a light version you can get just to see if you like it, so I got that first, and I felt it was worth the $2, so I bought it.
Oh, that's good.
Anyways.
Can't go wrong with $2.
So you completed a major milestone this week. You are no longer a student in high school. That chapter is done.
Whoa. I want to go to sleep. But yes, I have completed that milestone. That's right.
Now, exactly, the only thing is wait and find out if you passed. But I'd say that's
I would have passed. Just I want to see how well I passed. But I'm not that worried.
Anything else? Besides farming, of course.
Went to the beach today, but got my vitamin D. Yeah, that's right. That's what you were talking about. Apart from that.
Yeah, you know, there was a whole thing about vitamin D on Security Now earlier this year. And
on Security
Now?
Vitamin
D test. Yeah, because the guy's a health geek, too, so he said during his vitamin D research, he'd go sunbathe outside in his backyard for an hour a day without any clothes on. So that was his way of getting vitamin D.
Should try that sometime.
Maybe. Just make sure you keep the neighbors away.
Yeah, I don't know about that. We have too many
neighbors.
And people
that climb in your window.
Yeah.
Anyways, so beside farming, is there anything else you want to talk about?
Oh, yeah, I've been farming as well. For the one time I do have something that I've been doing on RuneScape. But no, there's not really much apart from that.
Okay. Same for me, just farming this week as well. Working on the computer science project. These past 2 days didn't get to do much on that because it's been kind of an economics past 2 days. So, economics assignment. It was a pretty interesting assignment in labor economics. Had to solve a system of equations that with 5 equations and 5 unknowns. So, but of course, you know, in typical economic sense, it's not an equation you can line up in the form of a matrix and solve it easily using linear algebra techniques. You have to do the old-fashioned substitution method rather than Gaussian elimination, which, I don't know, I don't find substitution that efficient. What do you think? You think Gaussian elimination is better than substitution?
I don't really have any personal preference. Yeah, you know?
Okay. But you did do systems of equations this year in math, right?
That's right, yes.
Okay.
I will use either method, to be honest. Whichever method strikes me first. Actually, I probably do use elimination more often. But it would be very messy.
Yeah, it was funny because, you know, the guy says, yes, this is kind of an interesting question. Stare at it for about 20 minutes and you'll figure out how to do it. But just as soon as I read it, it came out in my head that you had to make a system of equations with this. And, you know, I guess that's to be expected in an economics class. That's not based in econometrics, so.
Doesn't it make you feel good when you can do that?
Yeah, it does, you know. It does when you can do things like that that other people have problems with, you know. So. Yeah, because, you know, like, you could work so much calculus into economics, but they just don't at this level, which is too bad. Seeing as pretty much everybody has to take a beginner's calculus course when they enroll in a program.
Which is weird, because that's like the highest level. Or no.
No, it's not. No, it's not. Oh. Stuff like ring theory is the highest level, with that, which I don't even dare touch. I forget what that is, but there's a whole bunch of number theory and ring theory stuff, and then you slowly get to have linear algebra and calculus merge into one kind of stream, you know? It's really quite interesting, but I think we've talked about that kind of thing.
Yeah, we probably have.
So with that said, I think we're done for this week. Chief Snake.
Chief Snake.
Can say goodbye. Or Brad, whichever you want to be called, can say goodbye.
Yeah, I haven't been called Chief Snake explicitly in a while.
Yeah, you know, it's hard to know what to say.
Yeah, I know.
We'll be back next week. Remember, we want your clips, and remember to send questions in. Till then, see you next week, everybody. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.